Turn to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Try to pick up where Brother Keith left off last week. Try to cover a few of these verses and say a little something about them. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen, that's right. Amen, all day long too. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. I thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Father, I pray, Lord, now that you touch this time, I pray that you would take the word of God, Lord, that whatever you'd have said be said, and Lord, it would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, administer to our needs. God of heaven, touch the other teachers, the other classes. Father, in the house of God this day, I pray for the good leadership of the Holy Ghost for Brother Hyde for the 11 o'clock hour. Lord, according to thy will, Lord, that's what we want is your will. And Father, whatever you do for us in the house of God today, we'll certainly bow our unworthy head, say thank you, and we'll praise your darling name and worship thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'll start looking about verse 19. I think that's where Brother Keith left off last week. We'll try to cover some of these verses. We'll see how far we can get. Say a little something. Verse 19, it says, the evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. And at first, reading of that seems a little strange, because if you look at the world, and if you look at things in a worldly manner, you'd probably say it don't seem like you see a lot of times where the evil is bowing before the good these days. And I mean, it seems like so many people out there just to be flat honest, just full of the devil.
Yeah.
And, they're terrible. I mean, they're in the bondage of sin. And you say, well, I don't see many evil folks bowing before the good. But you have to look at it. I do believe this in a spiritual sense. And I think there's evil people, and they bring things on themselves, Brother Aaron. They bring things on themselves. They bring poverty on themselves. And a lot of times what they do, they wind up down there at the soup kitchen, down there at some church, or somebody with good intentions to try to help the poor, and they're down there begging for food and stuff. They're bowing. They're bowing. They're going to the ones that are good, and thank God that there are people out there that does have goodness in their heart and does have a concern for the poor. And now, look, we ain't nobody's fool. I'm not, you're not. We know most of those folks in that kind of shape that's homeless and stuff. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them, they're there because they brought it on themselves. It's the fruits of a sinful lifestyle. But the Bible does teach us though to show kindness to the poor. And we're to show the love of Christ. And I think that is a good way. Many times that you can get an open door, you can get an old sinner to stop and maybe take a listen to what you have to say about Christ if you'll show them some kindness first. And I know I didn't always think that way, but I really believe in my heart, I think over the last few years, the Lord's taught me a little bit about that.
Yes.
And if you'll show people kindness and they see you really care, and that you're just not trying to talk them into making a profession or something, they'll stop. I've seen it in the jail. I mean, guys, it's done things that most of us, if just natural thinking, we think, man, I'd be scared to death to go in there and be in the same room with that man. But I've seen them, and I've sat down in a chair in front of them, me in a chair face to face, and sat there and just showed them kindness and everything, and then get talking to them about the Lord and look up and see tears running down their cheeks. People want to know you care.
Right.
And even evil people, not all of them will do it, but some, if you'll show them kindness in Christ, in the gospel, in true love of God, they will. They'll bow. They may not come to Christ. They may not get saved. But they will at least be open to you. And, you know, I don't know how much this really applies to as far as being true with the gospel. The gospel's what it is. You know, I've always heard you catch more flies with honey. And we do know the Lord, He showed a lot of compassion towards sinners and the poor. And I think He ought to be our example. And I think we ought to try to balance things out. I think there's a balance there. You've got to tell them the truth. You've got to be honest with them. You've got to let them know they're a sinner. You've got to let them know that God is a holy and a righteous God, Brother Todd, and He will not tolerate sin and He will judge sin.
Right.
But you also have to show them while you're doing that you really care about them, that you really do care. It's not just something you're doing out of duty to God. It's not just something you're doing so you can make them feel bad about their self. It ain't my job to make them feel bad about themselves and get under conviction for their sin. That ain't my job. That's the Holy Ghost's job.
Right.
I can't get them under conviction, saving conviction, no way.
Right.
But they will bow at times. And it says in the latter part of that, it said in the wicked at the gates of the righteous. And you got to understand back in this time, in these olden days of the Old Testament, there were times where the leaders of the city, the leaders of the community, the righteous men and such, they would meet at the gate of the cities. That's where they'd have meetings. If you read Ruth, you know, when Boaz wanted to go and do that kinsman's part to take Ruth, he had to meet them men and there at the gates of the city. And they had a city meeting, I guess you could say, a meeting of the elders. And he had to go through what he had to go through to make that thing legal and right according to the law. And you'll find a lot of times they'll come to the gates like that under the authority of the community. You know, they'll come to the gates. And our job is no matter how they get there, no matter how maybe we draw them there, that we got to have the gospel waiting on them when they get there.
Yes.
They need the gospel. That's what they need. The wicked. You know, we can run them down. We can talk trash about them. We can do this and that. But all that's going to do is make them mad, make us look like a jerk. I'm just going to be honest. They need the gospel. They need the gospel. That's the only thing that's going to change their life and change them is saving grace through the gospel.
Right.
And but anyway, verse 20 says, the poor is hated, even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. And this sort of goes right along a little bit with the verse we just read. And we know there are people that, like I said, I'm not going to continue to dwell on it, but they look down on and oppress the poor. I mean, both good and bad people do it. So, I mean, bad people does it in this world for riches and gain. I mean, they'll use people for whatever they can get out of them and then just toss them in the ditch like a piece of trash and go right on not even care. And that's not right. And we know that's not right. But it says, the rich have many friends. Ain't that funny? Everybody always likes the fellow with the fat wallet. Is that right? I remember when I was a sinner, as long as I had money, Brother Shank, to go out and fund the party for all my friends, everybody in town come. If anything they had to bring anything, that was even better. But a weekend come up and I didn't have no money. Seemed like I didn't have many friends. You know, not bragging on a simple lifestyle, but that's just an example of the way things are. Everybody loves the people with the money. That's what most folks out here in this country, in this world, that's who they look up to. People with worldly fame, worldly riches. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, it amazes me. I've told people this, and I get funny looks. I get all kind of reactions. But it amazes me, all this celebrity worship.
Right.
movie stars, TV stars, what ball players, whoever they are, politicians. And people will sit around and name their favorite celebrity, and they'll talk about them like it's their best friend.
Yeah.
Like they've known them all their life. And they don't even know them. They know who they are. They know what the media tells you about them, which half of that probably ain't so. I don't worry so much about what the media tells me as what they won't tell me. Is that right?
Yeah.
But everybody, it seems like, especially sinners, they've got this warped, weird fascination with celebrities, and they get so attached in their own mind that they'll start talking about them and behaving as though they're just like a member of their family and they actually know them. That's like old Barack Obama. I know a lot about him. We know a lot about him, don't we, Brother Dennis? I know he's president. I mean, if they told the truth, which I don't know about that, I mean, we know a little bit about supposedly where he come from and all that. Know a whole lot about him, but I don't know him. I've never met that man. Never have. And you start doing that, people get to that mindset. See, that's people wanting to walk off on some kind of fantasy life. They can't handle reality. They don't want to deal with reality. They live in a fantasy world. They're trying to create their own existence.
Yeah.
Because they don't like reality. I guess maybe that makes them feel good about themselves, Brother Todd. That makes them feel like, well, you know, hey, I'm attached to that big celebrity there that everybody loves. That makes me feel better. They don't even know them. But it's what the Bible tells us. It says, but the rich hath many friends. Everybody claims to be the friends of the celebrities. Is that right? They don't even know you. You don't know them. They don't care 2 cents about you. Except to get your money out of your wallet. So they can build them another mansion or something. They don't care nothing about you. Is that right? It's like in politicians. They don't care nothing about me or you. Most of them don't even know what real life's all about. Most of them never had a job in their life. Not a real job. They don't even know what it is, Brother Dennis, to have to work, pay bills, and then next week you get paid, bills due again. They don't know nothing about all that. I mean, they just throw money right and left, but that seems like that's what people love. You love or to be toward Christ. You say you're a child of God. We do. I don't think there's nobody sitting in here right now wouldn't raise their hand if I asked you if you say. Everybody in here probably testify they say. Your mind shouldn't be on celebrity, shouldn't be on the world like that. Or to be on Christ first. Amen. Verse 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. How about that? But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. And that's true. Have you ever helped somebody who was sort of down and out? They was just going through tough circumstances and tough times, and you reached out and you was able to be a help to them. Sort of makes you feel good, don't it? Makes you thankful to the Lord that you was able to make a difference in somebody's life. I've experienced that, and you have too. Happy as he. You know, that's one thing I like about going to the jail. I'll just be honest with you. It's like I said a while back, I've got it pretty good. I grumble and complain just like anybody else does. But if I really step back and take a good look at my life and see what I've got, starting with the good Lord, I've got it pretty good. I ain't got it bad. I really don't. I don't have a right to grumble or complain about nothing. But, you know, I'll go over in that jail and sit there and talk to guys. I mean, their family won't have nothing to do with them. Of course, you know, a lot of times, just like I said, they brought it on themselves with their own actions. But still. Brother Shank, you know what the Lord's really let me learn and get a hold of? The wickedest man sitting up there in that jail. And even though we probably wouldn't trust him, and we shouldn't, we wouldn't have him over to the house for supper because we probably couldn't trust him. But you know what I've learned? He's still a human being. He's still an eternal soul. He needs the gospel. He needs to be saved. That's exactly right. He's got feelings just like I do. Now, All this bunch of stuff they'll tell you, I was mistreated when I was a kid, nobody loved me and all that. That's not an excuse for you doing wrong. That's not a reason for you doing wrong, I should say. That's just an excuse. You're still responsible for your own actions, don't matter how nobody else treated you. But I do understand in the human sense that when you do feel ostracized like that and pushed out to the side and feel like nobody loves you, I can see it in children when they get mad. Same thing. What's the first thing they do? They want to act out. And usually it's in anger. Except in that case, we're talking about an adult. And what they need is somebody, and I know, Brother Shank, I know, you know, some of them, we can do all we want and they'll just never come to God. It'll never change nothing. But we don't know if it will or not until we try. We're to love them. And we're to get the gospel to them. And we're to show them kindness. And you know what? We shouldn't think so highly of ourselves, because other than for the grace of God, that could be us. I know a lot of good Christian people, they'll say that, they nod their head, but they don't really believe that. I'd never do that. You don't know what you might have done if it wouldn't have been for the grace of God and God left you in a lost condition. You don't know what you might have done. And the only reason you've never done a lot of things they've done is God restrains you. You don't believe that? You don't believe what the Bible teaches? Verse 22, it says, do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. As some of them people, it seems like that's all they do. They sit around devising. That means they're planning, they're scheming. What they can do to get ahead, what they can do to get by, what they can do to pull one over on somebody. Is that right? Devising evil. Devising evil. Constantly. You know, the Bible said, we say we believe in the last days. The Lord said the last days be the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, God said that every thought of their heart was evil continually. I mean, that's about all they ever thought about was something wicked. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what, I know some people in this world, in this day and time, Brother Shank, they fit the bill. Do they not? Every time you see them, that's all they're doing. They're cussing. They're doing this. They're trying to figure out how they can get by with something. I mean, just all the time. All the time. You know what all that comes down to? You know what's one of the most dangerous things about sin? Pride. Which leads to selfishness. As a child of God, as children of God, as a church, we're to be more concerned about others than ourselves. Is that right? Is that what the book teaches? But every one of us is still, even saved, Brother Todd, many years me and you have been saved. If we be honest, I'll just be honest and admit this morning, I've still got some selfishness in me at times. I want what I want. I won't do what I want to do when I want to do it sometimes. When I could sacrifice and it wouldn't kill me. Wouldn't even be hard if I'd be honest about it. You know, I could sacrifice and reach out and give that time to somebody else and be a help to somebody. And I had a few people get a little upset up at that little prayer meeting I have on Monday night after 8 months. I told Susan, I said, somebody asked me if I was surprised some of them left, don't want to come to prayer meeting no more. I told them, no, after 8 months, the way I preach to them, I'm surprised any of them even come. Just to be honest, because I know most of them is lost. But somebody asked me, said, why you reckon they don't come? I said, because people do what they want to do. That's the answer. They made a decision. They don't want to no more. I get whatever it is. They mad at somebody, don't want to be in the same room with them. Or they don't think they're getting no benefit out of it no more, so they go do something else. I don't beg them to come back. I see them. I speak. I always try to remind them. I say, I'd like to see you at prayer meeting Monday night. They'll nod their head or grumble or something. Some of them even lied to me. Oh, I'll be there and ain't there. I'm still going to be kind to them. I'm still going to try to love them with the love of Christ. Is that right? But, you know, devising good and evil. Child of God should never be sitting and scheming in sin. Sometimes I know we do it. Probably not as bad as the sinners out there in the world does. But we still do it. Every plan, every thought, every idea we have really ought to be taken with the consideration of will it glorify God. Is that right? The Bible not say do all things for the glory of God? There's many a time, Brother Todd, I'm guilty. I should stop before I do something and say, will this glorify my Lord? And if it should, and if it doesn't, I ain't talking about, you know, going out and enjoying time with fame. I ain't talking about, you know what I'm saying? Will this bring honor to my Lord? Will this please Him? And if I can't honestly say yes, I ought to just determine in my heart I'm not doing that. Whatever it is. Whatever's in your life might be different than what's in my life. Whatever hinders you, whatever tempts you is probably different than what hinders and tempts me. Is that right? But I don't want to be, I'd hate to be sitting and thinking thoughts or scheming something to do I shouldn't do or something like that, Brother Randy, and the Lord come back that moment. I'd hate for Him to come back and catch me in a mindset like that. I'd be ashamed. That wouldn't be pleasant. So we want to keep our mind right. We don't want to be devising evil, but we want to devise good. And Word of God tells us here, it says, happy you shall be if you devise good. Amen. So we want to keep our mind on that. Verse 23, in all labor there's profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And if you don't understand what that word means, that means poverty. It's sort of like them people all they ever do, stand around and as Brother Shaver would say, bump your gums, or bop your gums, however he says it, and grumble and complain and never, you know, get your mess together, as Brother Robert would say, and do anything. Well, I hope you enjoy poverty. And that's just not financial poverty. There's also such thing as spiritual poverty. Is that right? You can sit around, and I've done it in years past. You can sit around and talk about, I need to study my Bible more. I need to give more time to my private time, my secret time in the secret place with God every day, and never do it. And it'll not profit you. You'll be a spiritually poor Christian for not doing it. And it is labor. It is labor. Working a job is labor. Is that right, Brother Aaron? You go clock in, you know you're going to have to work. Is that right? And if you don't work, it ain't going to be too long. Boss man ain't going to tell you hit the road and you ain't going to have no paycheck. I'm glad God didn't tell me to hit the road every time I got spiritually lazy. Boy, I'm glad He's more merciful and gracious than a boss man. Is that right? Because I've been there and I've done that. Boy, I'm sure glad of that. But talking about it don't get it done. I used to hear the old timer saying that. Talking about it ain't going to get the job done. Now you think sometimes, some people think it does when you go by these road construction jobs and you see about two fellas out there working and eight standing there talking and supervising. You know, but that's the world. We're concerned this morning with the spiritual. If you're spiritually lazy, you're not going to get much out of it. You'll go to hell one day. You've been saved. But if you're spiritually lazy, you're not going to get a whole lot of spiritual blessings. You're not going to grow. You're not going to gain in the wisdom of the Lord. Amen. And you're not going to be used. God uses people that make themselves available and willing to take the effort. Is that right, Brother Tom? He ain't waiting for the smartest or the best looking or the richest. He's just waiting for somebody that loves him, just willing to say, I'll go. Is that right? Well, he'll take care of the business if you'll just go. All you got to do is just make yourself available. But you got to have to get up and put some action to it. Knowing what to do ain't much good if you don't get up and do it. Ain't that right, Brother Randy? You know that stuff down there at your job pretty good after all them years. If you just went in and sat on the stool all day and then that's all you done, wouldn't nothing get done, would it? You got to put something to it. It ain't just knowing it, it's doing it. Amen? Verse 24, and the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. You want a crown? I want a crown that the Lord gives. I don't want a crown from the world. Is that right? That wouldn't do me no good. I want to exercise the wisdom that the Lord gives, Brother Tom. Not my fleshly foolishness that I might have once called wisdom. Amen. I want to know what God wants. If I can figure out what the will of God is, Brother Aaron, and then go act on it, I'll be blessed. I'll be a blessed man, and it'll be right. If the Lord says do it, it'll work. Is that right? You ain't got to worry about you doing something you shouldn't be doing. Amen. You ain't going to worry about wasting your time something that's not going to bear fruit. If you'll find the will of God for your life, amen, and walk in the good wisdom and leadership of the Holy Ghost, you'll see fruit from your life as a child of God. That's exactly right. But if you won't try to figure it out and do it your way, you know, Frank Sinatra sung that song, I Done It My Way. I can only imagine where he's at now. His way probably didn't work out too good for him. He'd been better off if he'd done it God's way. And then we all know it's easy to fall into temptation and get led astray by the world and everything else, desires of the flesh, family, whatever. But we have to constantly remind ourselves, you know, I have to get up every morning and actually remind myself that I don't want to waste this day. I want to walk in the wisdom of God, and I want to do what God had me do this day. I have to die to self every day. Paul said he did. I certainly do. Don't you? Because if I don't, I've heard Brother Hyde and other men preach it, and it's right. If you get up and start today wrong, the whole day is going to go wrong. I ain't bragging. I mean, it's just God's put it in my heart. I do it. I don't even think about it. Brother Todd, pretty much just about every morning, as I'm waking up and sitting up on the side of the bed before my feet even touch the floor, I'm already praying. It's just natural. I mean, after years now, it's just, as I wake up, I just start praying. I don't wake up and think, oh, gotta pray now, I'm up. As I'm getting up off the bed, I'm already praying. Why? Because I desire God's help that day. Not just for me, but for you and everybody else I pray for. I believe that's important. God's put that in my heart. Is that right? Wouldn't do a lot of good me get up and just fool away the day and wait supper time and then start praying for everybody and the day's over. Is that right? And I'd certainly hope and pray that you pray for me because I need it. I need it bad. And I know people praise for me. I know there's people in this church praise for people. And I'm thankful for that. And that's wise. Is that right? That's wisdom God gives. But that's a crown of the wise. Crown is something that can be seen. Is that right? You live for the Lord, you mark her down, sinners and saints alike, it'll be noticed. Yes. You don't believe it? Think back when you first got saved. Brother Hyde testified of it. His whole family thought he's crazy. It got somebody's attention. Why? Well, God saved him. And the best he knew at that time, he was trying to follow the wisdom of God as he read the Word of God and act on it. And I was a crown unto him. That's what the Word of God says. That means it got him noticed. Not that he'd be noticed, but that people might see Christ in him. That's what God uses us for. God don't just save us to sit over there on the sideline somewhere. I'm like Brother Hyde. I've been a sports person all my life, so I can use analogies like that. You ladies don't care nothing about sports. I apologize. But I'm like him. When I played ball when I was young, I didn't want to sit on the bench. I wanted to play. I wanted to get in the game. My dad wasn't no fun sitting on the bench. I wanted to get in the game. And once I got in there, I wanted to stay. I didn't want to come out. That's the way it ought to be with our life. Amen? Lord's equipped us to serve him. That's what we're to do every day. Amen? It ain't going to profit you or nobody else to sit on the bench. Amen? Verse 25, this is a verse I really want to get to. True witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Now, I don't know about you, but I've quite often down through the years, every time I might have read that or another verse saying about that same thing, I mean, I've always really thought in my mind, you know, that's talking about just being honest. Being an honest person. And it is. It is talking about that. Being an honest person. But my mind never seemed to get past, you know, like if I'm just talking to somebody, to be honest. Or if I've got dealings with somebody, just to be honest. Is that right? I think it goes deeper than that. I think it goes deeper than that. So the true witness delivers souls. You catch that? I don't think there's an activity, and I know everybody in here in this room wouldn't this morning qualify for this, but as a witness you do, but especially for a preacher, there is no activity that he carries on in his life at any point of the time in the day that's more important, to be honest, than when you're talking to somebody concerning the gospel. And we've got a boatload of them in this country, calls themselves preachers, and says they're sharing the gospel, and they're not. It's as Paul said in the book of Galatia, another gospel, which he said is not another gospel, but a false gospel. I can't imagine a worse lie a Christian could tell than the tale on Christ. You ever thought about it being that serious? You speak to a sinner and say something that's contrary to the gospel of Christ to them, even with good intentions, even if it's because you don't want to offend them, you've just told a lie on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Because if you're lying about the gospel, you're lying about him. Is that right? Brother Shank, he gets on them a lot, and I'm glad he does. I say amen to it, because I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous thing to misrepresent the gospel or the Word of God on any point. And we need to, I think, and I'm saying this because I need to do it. We need to be more conscious about the seriousness of when we're speaking concerning the Word of God, that we always speak it accurately. And I ain't saying nobody in here don't. But I'm just saying, if you ain't careful, you'll start repeating stuff you've heard somebody say in the Bible, don't even say it, just because it sounds good. Me and Brother Shank, Brother Hyde, and other preachers, we've heard it down through the years. Well, that ain't quite what the Bible said, but boy, that'll preach. Boy, that'll get them to shouting. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. It says a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. It's what it says, is it not? So if you try to deceive somebody in any way, but especially concerning the Word of God and the gospel, it's a lie. So it's that serious. Like I said, I would never imagine nobody in here does that. But we know there's people out there that does, Brother Shank. Brother Shank's favorite person, that smiling rascal, he does it every week. Lie, 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 lie. He is of his father, the devil. So that's pretty bold. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. He's a heretic. He's a false preacher. Amen. He's of his father, the devil, because that's who he's representing, because he sure ain't representing Christ. It's that serious, folks. And with that being said, just to jump back to verse 19 where we started, where it says the evil bow before the good. The best examples, I got two examples of that, and this goes with what we just talked about, the seriousness of the gospel. Two things. I want to remind you, Joseph, once he got down in Egypt and he was elevated to second command behind Pharaoh, we all know the account, and his brothers come down there looking for food, they wind up bowing before him after they had done evil to him. Is that right, Brother Aaron? But I'm going to tell you the most important time in this world where the evil bow before the good, and that's when that old sinner comes up that aisle and bows right here before the good God of heaven. So don't tell me the evil don't bow before the good. Ultimately, he is the good. He's the perfect good. And buddy, sinners will have to come bow before him if they'll ever be received and saved by the grace of God. Is that right? You'll have to admit you're a sinner, and you'll have to bow to him as Lord and Savior, because that's what he is. Amen. So, I appreciate the book of Proverbs. It's about wisdom, being wise. I'm glad God teaches us, Brother Shank, ain't you? Boy, I'm still learning. I'm still learning. But I'm sure thankful for what God has let me learn, and I pray that it's a help to other people. I really do. Well, that's what I'm living for now, is try to be a help to other people. I've lived for me long enough. I want to go on out of here serving God and trying to be a help to people. Amen. And the only way I know that, Brother Robert, to do things for them or that's going to be eternally of profit, is to tell them what this says. Amen. Brother Shank, you pray for us, and then you'll be at liberty.
Father, thank you, Lord, for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings, Lord. Pray, Lord God, you help us and help us take on our hearts, God, and be attentive to the Word of God. Pray for the pastor today as he preaches. I pray, God, you can use him in a great, mighty way. If anyone lost, he might get saved. I ask you, God, to help those walking afar off, and might come back. I ask you, God, to bless our church, God. The people here in Jesus' name.
Amen.